702.
Weird and wonderful.
Indeed, the weird and the wonderful. Dr. Nelisiwe Azimu is my guest, health practitioner and life coach. She's also a leader of a church. She joins me now to talk about the doctrine of grace. Dr. Azimu, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate you coming through.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's always an honor.
What is grace? Sorry. My apologies. I'm just running into the conversation already. My apologies. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I had to come in person. Everybody's waxing lyrical about the new venue, and I keep seeing it on, you know, when I pass by the roads. It's lovely.
Yeah?
It is lovely. Yes.
Great.
I think it should be advertised as a tourist attraction, actually.
It is.
People should just come, even if they're not here for interviews and whatever.
It is a very interesting studio, but an interesting building at the same time. So, yeah, I'm glad that I think maybe our architect should get the kudos here. Hey?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. No, it's lovely. It really is lovely.
Tell me, what is grace?
Grace. Actually, I think I was a bit selfish by asking you what is it that brought this topic to mind. Because at a personal level, my WhatsApp profile, since I discovered WhatsApp, there's a narrative that we're supposed to put in there, who you are and whatnot, you know. And since day one, it has been grace every morning. You know, so, and I'm just thinking about that now, that, you know what, maybe I was a bit selfish in asking, what is it that pushed you? Mm-hmm. And I really love the idea that you've made it very clear that we are not here to argue about doctrines and what Calvin people are saying and this and this and that. Grace is loosely defined as unmerited favor. Many of us, when we speak about grace, we think about something that is undeserved that happened to you. But grace is literally God in action. It's literally God just doing himself. That is what grace is. And God would do that, in various ways. And when I am saying God, I am speaking specifically to the power behind everything and the power that enables everything. So that is what grace is. Grace is just God presenting God to you. The reason why I am moving from the unmerited favor type of definition, which is fine, which is right, is because we tend to want to experience grace based on our physical being. We use our thoughts, we use our state, we use our emotions to kind of like try and make sense of things. And this is why perhaps sometimes we will want to know, is God happy about me? What is it that God makes God angry? What is it that causes God to punish me? And you know, and you've made a beautiful example of our older parents referring to, you know, to the grace of God. This is not just me. This is grace. Sometimes we use that expression as part of a cultural belonging, because remember, sometimes we pursue God. For instance, you know, like a typical church setting, you know, in as much as typically it is meant to be a place where you reach out to God, there is a strong societal or cultural element that determines how we seek God, you know, from the Roman Catholic type of setting, where it is very important that, you know, the place must look like this, the priest must dress up like this, there should be this routine and that
specific
routine,
rituals,
you know,
and so forth.
This is not, you know, where God is found, but, you know, we kind of like bring in cultural perspectives or activities to kind of like facilitate how we then reach out to God. You know, like right now, you know, we find, you know, the Americanized version of things, and that has also gone through its own history, you know, from the Baptist type of thing to the, you know, rap, hip hop type of thing, and all these modern things. There is a principle. There is a spiritual experience that is meant to be happening, but we tend to find ourselves using a cultural activity to kind of like facilitate that. And unfortunately, many of us find ourselves being stuck at, therefore, the cultural aspect of things, and we end up being driven away from grace.
You remind me of a very interesting conversation that was being had on a podcast with somebody I follow and, you know, listen to the way that he speaks. His name is Dr. Umar Johnson.
Right.
And he was speaking from an Islamic point of view because he's Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not a fully practicing Muslim anymore, but he made a very interesting point, one very similar to what you're making, to say that there are certain spiritual principles that we have culturalized.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes the point that the faith that he belongs to
mm-hmm.
has its origins in Arabia.
Yes.
The Prophet mm-hmm. Muhammad
mm.
was a native of Arabia.
Yeah.
But that there is now an unfortunate reality, as he was describing it, that people will make it look like certain types of food
mm-hmm.
are part of the Muslim way of thinking, of doing things, when they are just Arabic mm-hmm. types of food.
Yes.
Mm. He says, you know, I'm an African. I'm an African American,
mm-hmm.
and I come from a particular culture. And there's yep. certain types of foods
uh-huh.
that I want to eat. And I'm not talking about the foods that are about the fundamentals of the faith.
Yes.
Just the cultural
yes,
stuff.
The cultural
certain
things.
Types of foods
yes.
that are
mm-hmm.
eaten in Arabia
mm-hmm.
that some Muslims mm-hmm. have begun to believe are Islamic food,
yes.
foods.
Yeah.
When
mm-hmm.
he says, no, but we need to make the very, very clear understanding to say
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
is a cultural thing mm-hmm. that has its roots from where the Prophet was born, where mm-hmm. he comes from,
mm-hmm.
and that is cultural. It is not necessarily spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It is cultural.
Yes.
I, as an
yes.
African American, have certain cultural things
yes.
that I belong to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm getting your point to
mm-hmm.
say that we attach certain rituals
mm-hmm.
to certain fundamental spiritual principles,
mm-hmm.
and then we start to make them seem as though they are of that particular culture, when in fact it's just that culture's interpretation of that particular.
Precisely.
Right, okay. Yep.
You know, and you know, when we look at grace, we tend to interpret grace as positivity. If it happens my way, it's grace.
Mm.
If my expectations have been met,
mm-hmm.
it's grace.
Mm-hmm.
If I get what I want, it's grace.
Mm.
And like I said, grace is God being present. Grace is God doing himself. And sometimes it will not necessarily be the way that you expect, which is why we need to be careful, you know, even in our definition and even in our experience and expectation of grace, that we don't use, you know, the physical, the natural aspect of our being 100%. You see, when it comes to God, God is spirit, right? And anything that is not spirit is there for the sake of spirit. So God establishes nature and everything, but everything that is not necessarily spirit is there for the sake of spirit. So therefore, if your thoughts, if your emotions, if your responses are limited to nature, they have not yet done 100% what they have been created for. So, you know, when we look at grace and I'm like, I'm healthy, therefore I have received grace. But grace is not limited to the well-being of your physicality. grace can still ascertain itself even when you're not feeling that you are well physically. Like I was saying, you know, I got a raise, I got a bonus. Grace, you know, it is because of grace, you know. But we need to realize that whenever we use the physicality as a form of reference or as a form of how we kind of like make sense of that which is not physical, at some point we will be limited. Because that which is not physical, it cannot be 100% accounted for by that which is physical or natural.
You know, Dr. Nelly, I want to jump in very quickly there, and as I get an epiphany of what you're saying there, and we'll go into... By the way, please give us a call, 011-883-0702. Dr. Nelly is here with me. We're talking about grace. What is it? Give me a call. What do you understand by the concept, the idea, the term grace? I'm a broadcaster.
Right.
And primarily what I do is communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I want to communicate certain things that I understand in my language. IsiNdebele, Zulu, Sepedi, or Setswana. But I'm using the vehicle of the English language to try and explain certain concepts that I learned in my native language.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes English does not have the words or the terms or the ideas to express an idea or a notion or a feeling that I can only express in isiZulu or Sepedi. And the danger then exists that if I can't explain it in English, I can fall into the trap of wanting to say that it doesn't exist.
Yes.
Because English doesn't have the words.
Element of you that does not enable you to make sense.
Precisely. So what I'm understanding by what you're saying is that if the physicality, the carnal, the non-spirit does not have a means by which it can express the full understanding of what grace is, it does not mean that it doesn't exist.
It does not mean that grace is not there.
I'm with you. So what you're saying to me is that even as we start this conversation, understand that this idea of grace is sometimes bigger than what the five senses can declare to us.
Precisely. Okay. In fact, the full experience of grace has to be beyond the experience of the five senses.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It has to be beyond the natural. The natural, the physical, the physical, the visible, the tangible, can only be conduits of grace.
Somebody said to me that not everything that is a no thing is nothing.
Yes. Precisely.
So not everything that is a no thing is nothing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it what you're saying to me?
Precisely.
All right.
Precisely.
Give us a call. 011-883-0702 is the number to dial. We're talking about grace. What is that? Now I'm going to ask you, as a woman of the cloth, a question that might feel a little bit problematic or maybe pushing the boundaries. One of the things you said to me was that grace is God being God. In other words, expressing his virtues, his ubuyena bakhe. And one of the meanings that I understood from what you explaining what grace is unmerited grace.
Yes.
Is it possible to ask the question that says, is God not being a little bit narcissistic here? In the sense that he creates stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He creates the world, creates stuff so that he can be seen through that stuff. And then we ought to call it unmerited grace. I just feel like that definition gaslights the logic. a little bit, in the sense that, dude, if you wanna show off your you-ness,
mm-hmm.
then it can't be unmerited, because it merits you.
Because it merits God.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it merits you.
Mm-hmm.
I am here as a conduit for your expression of virtues.
Yes.
And
yes.
I should be so ever so thankful.
Yes.
That I have this favor. But man, you know, if you hadn't created me, I wouldn't be having to worry about being so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to
mm-hmm.
me about that.
Yeah, and this is the foundation for our frustrations.
Yep.
With the source of grace. Let me put it that way. This is why we often get frustrated with the source of grace, because of the way in which we view that relationship. Like you are saying, it's like, you know, God is creating you because He wants to do Himself.
Yeah.
Well, He is God by Himself, and He does what He wants, when He wants, the way that He wants it.
Because He's God.
For whatever reason that He wants it.
Yeah.
Where man gets frustrated is that man fails to realize that, having used all these descriptions, right there where God is by Himself, doing what He wants, when He wants, and, as long as I am in the picture, somehow, I can never be disadvantaged. I can never be in a point, there can never be a point where God actualizes Himself to my disadvantage. And that is why He is the source of grace.
What about the people that have been at the receiving end of His judgment?
They have been at the receiving end of His judgment based on, or the narrative is, they've been at the receiving end of His judgment. Remember, I want us to continuously remember the fact that we are the vessels that He uses.
Yeah.
And we will, you know, God is dependent on the, you know, like I have this bottle of water.
Yeah.
This water is dependent on this container to be here.
Right.
But it is not necessarily dependent on the container to become.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but the container is so important, because I can't bring the water to you without the container.
Ah.
But then, because the container is so important that I can't bring the water to you without the container, does not necessarily mean that the container is subsequently equal to the water.
Mm.
Neither does it mean that the container is 100% reliable when it comes to containing the water.
Mm.
This container can break and the water spills. It has been created as an agent of containing the water, but at some point it fails to contain the water. This container can be drawn to something hot and it can melt based on the proximity to certain things, and it deprives itself of its reliability to contain
purposes of
the water.
Purpose of containing the water. Yeah.
But you know, when it comes to God, it is very important for us. The moment you are fixed at yourself, the moment you are focused at yourself, the moment you are driven by self, and self being an entity that is separate from God, that is when you have troubles with God of any nature whatsoever. You will complain about being judged. You will complain about the timing, the provision, this and this and that, because at that particular time, the way that you look at you, you look at you as a separate entity from God. I know that loosely we speak about a relationship between God and man. But in the long run, man is supposed to be totally overshadowed and overcome by God.
Thoroughly possessed.
Thoroughly. And until you get to that, the moment there is a problem, it is because you are looking at you as a separate entity. To the point, we even get to the point where we get frustrated by God and we say, but I served you, but I did right, but I tried. I'm looking at my own virtues now in relation to what is God supposed to respond, you know. But I did this right, but I'm a good guy. How come this is happening to me? But I prayed. Is that what, not what you said? But I prayed, but I believe and whatnot. And as long as we are doing that, we are literally looking at ourselves as separate entities from God, no matter how good we may try to be. Because I think humanity in general, particularly when we pursue our spiritual lives, that is what we do. We're looking at us becoming fitting to relate with God and to receive something from God. But it is not about that. It is about us totally disappearing.
A friend of mine that I usually speak to on the next hour, Stanley Beckett, is a scientist. He's a... And he sometimes speaks
about... He's a magical kind of guy.
Yeah, he's very interesting. He sometimes speaks about the quest for singularity.
Right.
The ultimate oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And he argues that ours is the problem of still seeing ourselves in our fragmentedness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are unable to see the purpose of singularity.
Of singularity, yes. Because we try to pursue singularity using fragmentedness, using the mentality
of
fragmentedness, using the efforts of fragmentedness.
And therefore, if I'm understanding you, you are saying to me that grace is to be able to see fragmentedness as singularity sees it.
It's to be able to let go of all forms of fragmentedness.
Tinawa is apuzutwan, Pastor.
Right.
There were times when under the influence of deep intoxication from the wines of life, can we say that even then we were under the influence of grace?
Oh yes.
I want to take some calls. Okay. 011-883-0702. My guest is Dr. Nelisi Wazimo, health practitioner and life coach. Umfundi is food. And I'm hoping that you can join us in this conversation. Somebody says, Anonymous says, religion is the life you lead, not the creed you profess. Interesting stuff. I'm interested to hear from you what you understand grace to be. I want to take some of the calls that have come through. Can I start? Can I take some of the calls?
Yes, please.
All right. Bali is in Midrand. Hi, Bali.
Hi, Aubrey and Dr. Zim. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you, Bali. Go ahead. What is on your mind?
Yo, Aubrey, I'm a fan of your show.
Oh,
I'm
my.
Not the one to call. You know, as I just started my car driving from work, you were introducing the topic and my inner being just turned. Because when you talk about the grace and the grace of God, let's just be specific. You are talking about the inner being of you that is unexplainable. You know, I've got goosebumps. And it happens that by the time you're saying I must talk, I've just parked at home. Grace,
kimosa
that you can't explain, and kimosa that you don't deserve. Ordinarily. And I love the narrative that says it's not the material or the physical. It is something that you look at and you're saying, how did this happen? How? And I want to use the illustration quickly of the issue that happened in Limpopo, where you've got a bus.
45 people passed. Yes, I remember. Yeah.
45 people passed. And there is a 8-year-old girl whom is saved, I can tell you, everybody is trying to understand how did this happen.
Mm.
And grace is something that nobody can ever give an explanation to. You reflect on your own and you're saying, how did I get here?
Mm.
How did this happen? It, regardless of material you have, but when you look at it and you can only look up and saying, it can only be the hand of God.
Mm.
That's why I can't divorce the word unmerited favor, because it is something that you know it has happened. You don't know, Jorge, how did you wake up this morning when you reflect on how you went to bed? And
Molly,
in between, you don't know.
I'm going to let you go, sis. And thank you so much for your participation and the words
thank
that
you
you've
so
given
much.
Us. Much appreciated. Madome is in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Madome.
Opri, what's up, bro?
Hey, Tara, my bro, man, is Dolly.
Singali, my bro.
Hey, Tara.
Opri, and Mrs. Zimbo. Opri, your guest.
Yes.
Opri, the way I understand grace, man,
yeah.
It is when, let me just, I don't want to be long-winded, but you can just know, bear with me a little.
Sure.
Grace, it was just that a person, a man was created his flesh. But then, when the fall of man happened in the Garden of Eden, it fell because the flesh is weak. You understand? That's why we say the desires of the flesh, that they, because the woman looked at the fruit of the tree and saw that the tree was good, and it was pleasing the eyes. The tree was good, which is the desires of the flesh, and it was pleasing to the eyes, which is the lust of the eyes, and it is wisdom, which was what we call this thing,
hubris, pride,
pride.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And then when the Israelites, you know, the Jews, they were chosen people. They were chosen to be a kingdom of priests. They were chosen to be holy people. You know, when they were chosen, they were given the commands, everything to live by. But they couldn't keep them. The first man, your ancestor Adam and Eve, they couldn't keep that. You understand? It was God's purpose. By his purpose, even Moses told them. He tells them, I think it's somewhere in Deuteronomy 15. That he'll send you a prophet among one of your people, and you must listen to him. All the prophets, this thing of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, they saw it far off. They didn't have it. They had God then. God was fighting for them. God was with them. But because the flesh is weak, there was the plan of God whereby Jesus will come. And when Jesus comes, you understand?
Yeah, but Madome, I want you to help me, my brother, and maybe some of my listeners. I understand that your purpose is to try to explain grace through these stories that many of us know, who are perhaps attached to the Christian faith. But speak to me as somebody perhaps who doesn't know about these stories. What is grace?
Okay, grace is just that only by belief, not by yourself, not by keeping the law. Because by yourself, the flesh is a weak thing. It cannot keep the law. It's very weak. Grace is only when you believe. That's when Jesus, you know, let me tell you John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he bring his only begotten son, that those who believe in him should not perish. You know, in Jesus, it's only by belief. You don't come by the flesh and all that, because your flesh is weak. You cannot resist the forces of evil by the flesh. You cannot obey.
Let me let you go, my brother.
It's only by grace.
Except by thank you, my brother. Matume in Foslaras.
Yes, sir.
I want to say something.
That's the narrative.
Yeah.
Of many people.
Yeah.
And it is not wrong.
Sure.
Yet it is important for us to understand that, you know the part of the narrative that Matume is referring to, it is the response of man, not the effort of man.
Right.
And I think this is what the previous caller was talking about when she insisted on the unmerited, where you look and say, how did it become?
Yeah.
There's somebody who made a lovely example on grace, and they were using an example of marriage. And he says, you are wearing a wedding band, right? And you wear a wedding band because something has happened. You don't wear a wedding band in pursuit,
yes,
of something.
Yes.
So by the time we get to the John 3:16 and, we tend to give this narrative to humanity that this is meant to be your effort. But ideally, grace is already there.
Mm.
And all you need to do is respond. And in responding, you cannot 100% count on just the physical and the natural and the separatedness that we spoke, yes, about. Because in as much as it is an agent,
yeah,
it is limited.
Yeah.
So our experiences and how we see life, nature, and all these things that we refer to,
yes,
they are merely a pathway of grace and a pathway to grace. You know, grace, the ultimate grace in grace, or the ultimate blessing in grace, is the capacity to truly connect with the grace.
So there's a number of things that I want to perhaps deal with by way of housekeeping.
Right.
In this particular conversation, because certain, yes, things can derail us from what we're trying to get to.
Yes.
So, Ronnie says, why does it make sense to attach masculinity to the idea that God is especially, because no one has seen God, or are there people that have seen God? This idea of he, him, father, and that's from Anonymous. Sorry, Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Ronnie. And I understand his question from,
right,
the point of view of somebody who's saying, listen, you know, let's have a conversation about the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to try and explain what I mean in this way before we go back to the calls. I always say that whenever I try to understand what electricity is,
mm-hmm,
I experience electricity because of how it behaves in the appliances that I buy.
Yes. Mm.
So when I speak of electricity, I will speak about electricity as it manifests itself in my iron.
Yes. Yes.
Or in my heater.
Yes.
Or in my hairdryer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I speak...
And how that subsequently has an effect on you.
Precisely.
Yes.
Precisely. And when I speak of electricity, this unseen, powerful thing, I am limited in the sense that I have only experienced it through the agency of an iron.
Yes.
Or a heater.
Yes.
And
yes.
So whenever I speak,
and how you perceive it.
Precisely.
And how you perceive it, because perception is very important.
Precisely.
You know, as you are making that example, I'm part of a research that is looking into the psychological effects of load shedding, for,
yes,
instance.
Yes.
It's easy for me to respond,
yes,
because of how I experience, because of my powers to perceive.
Yes.
But you cannot ask that to a six-month-old child, for instance.
Precisely.
Because at that level, whether the light is on or off, it is neither here nor there. They do not have the capacity to experience that. In fact, coming back to the comment of Anonymous,
yeah,
yes, and as you are explaining,
yeah,
we use these explanations based on where we are at.
Yes.
But a true encounter with grace enables you to experience those, enables you to use those definitions and not be limited,
yes,
to those definitions.
Yes, yes.
So, you to be able to say, let him be a man, but,
yes,
he is bigger than that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let him be a woman, whatever we decide to,
sure,
call him, her, it, they, whatever. But for you to get beyond the physical, yes, for you to get beyond the natural. Yes. That is the essence of grace.
And that's why I call that the housekeeping sort of stuff.
Because yes,
we can get bogged down on he, him, they, she.
Yes.
When in fact we're looking for what is electricity.
Beyond. Precisely.
So Anonymous, I hear you and I accept your admonition.
Mm-hmm.
But due to the limitedness of human speech, yes, and culture and time, allow us to use these words that are, as you point out, as you correctly point out, are limited in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go back to the question that I asked before, and I'm coming closer.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you spoke of the response of the created to that which was not created.
Yes.
To show the virtue of the creator.
Yes.
Is what you're saying to me.
Yes.
So you're saying to me that there is a relationship between that which is created, me, you, and that which created God, him, they, she, whatever, however you want to something that was there before creation.
Oh, yes. And that is the whole point. That is the whole point. And which is why I highlighted the fact that as a vessel, that which created is dependent on the vessel to carry what was not created. But the vessel has limited capacity, which is why we are having such conversations.
Sure.
It is based on the fact that the vessel has limited capacity, and the whole point of a discovery or relationship or an encounter is to take you beyond or back from being a vessel, back into connecting with that which can never be created.
So I want to take the calls, but in short, you're saying to me it is the experience of the limitedness, of the unlimitedness.
Yes.
By the limited.
Yes.
Therefore, grace is the experience of the unlimitedness.
Mm-hmm.
By the limited.
By the limited. Subsequently, allowing the limited to live in the unlimitedness.
Oh, of course, yeah. All right, let's continue. Lebo is in Edenvale. Lebo, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aubrey, and good evening to the good doc, whom I call Nele.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. If you call me Nele, you know me from far. Good evening, Lebo.
I know, yeah. Yeah, hi, Nele. I just want to say, I thank you for the question. I do believe grace is indeed unmerited favor, right? But I don't believe that it's confined. I believe it's the expression of God's infinite love, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the infinite expression of God's infinite love, okay, that he should give us favor, he should show us love. I believe it is something which is not immediately tangible, right? You cannot put your hand on it, but you know it when you experience it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's God's love dispersed among the people. However, to actually be able to experience it, you need to experience it with your spirit. Physically, it may be very difficult for you to understand that what you're going through is grace. It might not be immediately obvious to you, but it is your spirit that will tell you that this is grace. Okay, just like the electricity is there. Whether my lights are on or off, electricity is there. Doesn't mean that it's not there, right?
But yeah, although load shedding has made us question.
Yeah, sure. I get you, right? Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But just because my light is off or my plug is not on at the time, right, doesn't mean there's no electricity. Right? It's something that I can tap into, right, and experience. If I can tune into my spiritual side, right, if I can get my spirit man activated, I can then immerse myself in the already present grace. It's not as if I start to receive it at that moment, right? It's already present. I just enter into it, right? I immerse myself in it, okay?
Yeah, precisely, precisely. What we are talking about, you know, when the references that you are making, they're essentially witnesses to grace.
Yes.
You know, and I think, you know, when we use like a legal example when it comes to that, sometimes you know, an incident will happen, and you know, people will know about it. But if the witnesses in the court of law are not credible, that case may end up actually being thrown out. Of course, I'm just making a, you know, legal analogy.
Yes.
To saying, sure. You know, it becomes really important then that there is a reasonable or a productive connect between the witnesses of grace and the true encounter of grace.
Lebo in Edenvale, I've got to stop you there. Thank you so much for the call. So many calls coming through. So many calls. So many, many, many calls. John from Edenvale says, please ask your guest to talk about grace versus bad things that happen to good people without divine intervention. Was die Gnade da? Was die Gnade?
Grace, what happens? Well, grace and bad things happening to good people. So there are so many questions, you know, that come out of that. And it still boils back to the limitation of the natural aspect of things. When a bad thing happens to a good person, perhaps the question that we should be asking ourselves is, what is the view of grace on the bad thing? If a bad thing happens to a human being, it is a human being that perceives that as a bad thing. And the question is, does grace equally perceive that as a bad thing? A bad thing happening to a good person, and a good person is a good person based on how they natural views the good person. And the question is, does grace regard the person as a good person? I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, I'm questioning the goodness of people. And, you know, actually, this is my personal testimony, where I encountered a terribly bad thing in the midst of bending over backwards to be good. And my experience of grace in that was an encounter of grace that made everything else unnecessary.
Is it possible that, based on what you've just said now, that grace at that moment that John is speaking about is making a commentary on our perceptions of good and bad? That which we perceive to be good but filthy rags.
Mm-hmm.
That the autonomy and the sovereignty of grace,
yes,
steps in to say that regardless of your bending over,
yeah,
to be good,
mm-hmm,
it is still insufficient.
Yes.
It still needs me.
Still, it's still grace. Grace persists so that you don't try to make sense of things. Because this is what John is asking about, us trying to make sense of things. So grace carries you in a situation to the point where you are able to say, you know what, this looks like a mess, but it doesn't matter even if I don't know, even if I don't make sense of it, even if I don't feel justified.
It suggests surrender.
I'm still, yes.
Let me speak to Mariah in Rivonia. Hi, Mariah.
Hi, Aubrey. So nice to chat to you again. Yeah. I'll be brief if I can, because I know you're nearly at the end of the show. Aubrey, I've got like two comments to make. And the one is about what you said earlier about when you're wanting to pray or communicate to a higher power, you often fall into your vernacular or another language,
yes,
other than English.
And
I think, because that happens to me too, is where you're wanting to communicate with what is your most authentic self, which is how you were brought up, which is when you were a small child, mm-hmm. and the language that you were brought up with, and so you want him to, well, that's how I feel anyway, communicate with just the core of you and not like, you know, the English or the language that you have acquired. That's my take on it. I just want to make another comment before you go, and that is, in terms of grace, we sometimes do not see it until time has elapsed.
Mm.
And I also went through a very, very tough time, and yet I had amazing experiences, which, yes, I took the initiative, and I did this, and I did that. But I do know now, and I think I did know then, that without God's help, I wouldn't have succeeded in making those, I wouldn't have succeeded in those experiences and what they taught me. And linked to that, then, is there is a psalm, and I think it's Psalm 71 or something. I know it's a 70. And it resonates a lot with me, which is, and you're walking, anyway, I'm just paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
You hear in the end, your footsteps were unseen, which is, you were there, but your footsteps were unseen.
All right, in Rivonia. Thank you so much. One last call. Selma in Rudaport. Hi, Selma. As we close, we have absolutely, 15 to 30 seconds left?
Okay, I've got three quick things to say.
Yep.
God saved my life three times. Once when I broke my femur and I should have bled out in 5 minutes, even my bone marrow leaked out, but I didn't die, and doctors still can't explain why not. Second thing, I had a big back operation, and all the doctor after said, this is a very, very big operation. He kept on saying it, but he never told me why. Afterwards, I found out 3 months later when I got an account from a strange guy that I didn't know what he was doing, and I inquired, and I said, no, well, I also don't know. And when I phoned up his company, he said, I'm a perfusionist. You nearly bled out on the table. I saved you. And a third thing that I want you to know about is, okay, so those two things to me are the grace of the Lord. That was the grace of the Lord. But anyway, the third thing I want you to know, we talk about electricity. Our hearts beat because of electricity. We have electricity in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a shock, an electrical shock, at the wrong beat, you beat you. If you look at these ECG machines, that shows it goes tick, 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 and then goes up, down, tick, tick. If, when you get shocked, it happens at the wrong moment when I think it's at the, when it goes on that up spike. I think, I might be wrong, might be the down spike. I can't quite remember now. If it catches you on that one, it kills you. If it catches you on any other spot on your circuit, it doesn't kill you.
Mm.
I once got shocked because of my own stupidity. It obviously didn't catch me on the wrong spike. And I was saved. So God saved my life, I know, four times, but I won't bother telling you about the other one.
Selma in Rudaport, thank you very much for your call. Doc, as we close, already in the next hour, final words, and how do we find you?
I think the previous caller spoke about grace that is not encountered, or grace that is not realized. Grace is all over us, and grace tries to pursue us literally every time. And the blessing of grace is connecting with grace. And this is what I wish for each and every one of our callers and our listeners and everyone in 702 land, that in one way or the other, whether you are able to make sense of it or not, may you have an encounter with grace.
That's probably why they call it amazing grace.
That's right.
Dr. Nelisiwe Zimu, health practitioner, life coach, thank you so much for joining us. How do we get in touch with you?
Instagram at Dr. Nelisiwe. I think that is the quickest one. Instagram at Dr. Nelisiwe. Facebook at Dr. Neli, DrNeLLI.